Hello and welcome to NPR's Car Talk with us, Click and Clack the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week and this week only.
Yeah?
From the Mirage. No. No, we're broadcasting from the Car Talk Plaza Department of Joke Dissemination and Folklore.
Yeah, lots of people want to know, what are these private jokes that you guys keep laughing at? And we thought we should disseminate more information regarding the genesis of these jokes.
That is, like explain me, Lucy.
Or explain me.
Anyway, we got a letter from a listener in Manchester, New Hampshire. Actually, he
has a two-piece
letter. There's a front and a back to this.
Wow, yin and yang.
And this has to do with the joke dissemination department. He says, so, what's the story behind pick up all those batons? Well, we went to see some months ago. When was it? About 15
years
entire, ago.
The entire crew and staff of the show.
Right, the entirety of Car Talk Plaza went to see George Carlin.
Right,
one of
all four of us.
The little bits he did was he was saying, and what is it with this Miss America contest? He said, I think that in order to make it fair, they should make them come back until they win. You keep coming back every year.
Right, they can be coming back until they're like 60, 70 years old.
And while you're at it, pick up all those batons.
Well, it had an imagery. You know, good jokes have, you could just see all these 70-year-old women in bathing suits. Dropping those batons.
Tripping over.
Well, all right, let's pick up all those batons. It was a good joke.
It was.
It was a good joke.
It was. And we steal it all the time.
And we're trying to disseminate.
And he says on the back of the letter, he says, by the way.
Who's he, by the way?
I don't know who he is.
He didn't sign it.
Oh. Well,
okay.
He said, wait a minute, this is important. By the way, one week your staff psychologist's name was Mo Moody. The next it was Les Moody.
Hey. Less is Mo. Maybe he has a split personality.
Well, anyway, if you hear some continuing reference on this show that my brother laughs about and spills his coffee over and all that, and you want to know what it is, you can write to us at the Department of Joke Dissemination and Folklore, or Folkloric Department.
Folkloric. That's a good word.
I like that.
I do, too.
Is that an I-C-K at the end or an I? Car Talk Plaza. 630
Plaza or Plaza?
Plaza.
Wasn't it Plaza Suite?
Shouldn't it say Plaza or Plaza?
I always say Plaza.
Plasma, that's what it is. That's 630 Commonwealth Avenue, Boston.
Our fair city.
Very well done. Massachusetts, 02215.
All right, let's take a call. 1-800-332-9287.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Reggie from Hilton Head Island, South Carolina.
Really?
Right.
Jeez,
I was just in Hilton Head Island just the other day.
You were?
No, he wasn't.
That was not me. That was my brother.
I however, was there. Hilton Head is beautiful.
It's very beautiful, but it's extremely hot.
Yeah.
That's part of my reason for calling you, is because of the heat in Hilton Head and the trouble that I have with my car.
Yeah.
I have a 1990... GM Pontiac Transport.
Mm-hmm.
When I use my air conditioning, which is almost 24 hours a day, when I first turn it on in the morning, it blows a wonderful smell of urine.
Oh. That's interesting.
I don't know how to put this any nicer.
No, that's all right. I mean, it's perfectly acceptable for public radio.
It wasn't a four-letter word.
Yeah.
No, it was five.
Okay. Now, I complained about this in the very beginning to the dealer, who told me that I was nuts and, you know, I shouldn't worry about it, and it was probably my imagination. Well, in the fact that I'm a little bit worried I might kill the entire Girl Scout troop with Legionnaire's disease, I called GM. And they said that they had developed some sort of a blower to install in the car, which they went ahead and did. It took them about 5 hours to install this. But it's still not doing any good. As a matter of fact, I just got home, and when we turned the car on, it smelled so bad. My 11-year-old was just about sick from the smell.
Wait, now, let me get this straight. The smell occurs when you first turn it on in the morning, but does it then go away?
Yes, it goes away.
It goes away.
It goes away after the air conditioner's on a while, but then when you turn it on again the next day, it smells again.
And GM, what is this, blower?
GM acknowledged this they did a full urinalysis on this thing, or what?
And they acknowledge that this problem does exist.
Yes.
And it really is urine, huh?
I mean, yeah, well...
what is the smell? What's the nature? I mean, what did they say the nature of the smell is?
Okay, what everybody has calculated so far, and for some reason I think they may have fixed this in the 1991 model, because they have acknowledged that this all happens and even created this special little blower system to dry out the pan, is that the bacteria is growing in the water.
Yeah. Right, in the evaporator.
Right.
Right, okay.
And that it causes a horrendous smell once the bacteria grows in there.
Sure.
And when it's dry, you don't smell it. But when it's wet,
right.
So well, the problem is exacerbated by the fact that you live in the damn jungle.
Right. And I'm just a little bit worried, though, because what scares me about it, now, I was just after today, after my daughter said, oh, Mom, this smells so bad, and I didn't smell it right away, but she said, that's because you're old. And I said, you know, you're right.
A little brat.
Yeah. And so I thought, but what I'm really worried about it, isn't this Legionnaire's disease?
Well, I mean, of course, the problem is that it could be anything. It's not an uncommon problem. Lots of other vehicles, especially people who live down there in the jungle with you, have problems like this. I think it was nice of GM to have installed this blower. Does this blower run after you've shut off the engine?
I turn my car off, say it's in the garage, and I come in the house, and about 45 minutes later, the blower goes on.
Yeah, sure.
And then it's supposed to dry it all out. Now, this works fine. The blower does go on.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost embarrassing, though, when I have anybody get in my car. You know, everybody loves this car. They all comment on how, you know, it looks like some sort of spaceship.
Yeah.
But then when they get in it
smells
and I turn
bad.
On it, they say, well, it looks nice, but let me out.
A spaceship without proper sanitary facilities.
I don't know if the astronauts are having this problem.
Well, they may, but they're a tough crew, I guess.
See, that's what I'm worried about. If I'm blowing,
Legionnaire's disease.
Spores in the car as
well. Well, mold spores don't necessarily bear Legionnaire's disease. I mean, that was a weird situation anyway. But it may be that this is only the first step in their attempting to fix this problem. There may be step two.
Yeah.
So I would go.
I should call them again.
Yes, I'd go back and complain again.
Okay.
They're on the right track, and I'm sure their engineers worked hard at this. I mean, this is not something that they contrived in an evening. I mean,
no.
They worked very hard at this, and it's actually a pretty clever.
I think so too.
An attempt, however, at a clever
I should
solution.
Point out that all the Honda and Toyota owners who have this problem have been told. That's tough. I think it's nice that GM went out of their way and tried to fix the problem for you.
I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to kill every child that got in my car. And
you might be.
No, you won't kill them. You might infect them, but you probably won't kill them. They may, in fact, survive this. But
I mean, I would be on the safe side for those first few minutes to leave all the windows open, start up the engine, turn on the air conditioner, and don't get in for 5 minutes.
I'll tell you,
the
smell is just as bad after 15 minutes to when you first get in. You just get accustomed.
Oh, isn't that a horrible thought?
Yeah. Oh. No. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, it isn't any better. Next time you see a hitchhiker, pull over, have the hitchhiker get in. Within 30
and
seconds...
if he doesn't accept the ride, you know that you're in trouble.
Oh, it's that smell.
He says, never mind, I'll wait.
Good luck, Reggie.
I know I still have the problem.
Let us know if you come up with something, because we'd be very interested.
All right,
this
thank you
so much.
This
is not a problem that only you have.
That's good to know.
Oh, yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, the Puzzler Answer and more calls are coming up right after this. This message comes from NPR sponsor CarMax and the Love Your Car Guarantee. Car buying can feel overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be that way. CarMax gives you the time you need to make the right choice. Take up to 24 hours for your test drive, and once you buy, enjoy a 30-day money-back guarantee up to 1,500 miles. Learn more and start shopping at CarMax.com, the new Love Your Car Guarantee from CarMax. Car buying reimagined.
Well, this is normally the time where we usually give the answer to last week's puzzler. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember the puzzler?
Last week's puzzler was that the one about the little old lady from Pasadena?
No, but if you've been listening the last few weeks, you know that the puzzler is still on summer vacation. Isn't that great?
That is great.
Yeah.
In fact, we've got lots of mail saying that's the best way. We don't want to hear the puzzler anymore.
No, no, people are clamoring for the puzzle, right? I mean, they're out there now with the signs.
We want the puzzler.
Anyway, if you have a puzzler that you think we can use that might be better than some of the lousy ones that we use all the time, feel free to write to us at Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, WBUR, 630 Commonwealth Avenue, Boston.
Our fair city.
Very good. Massachusetts, 02215. And if we use your puzzler on the air...
Won't that be nice?
It would be wonderful. If you want to call us, the number is 1-800-332-9287 or 617-353-6350.
Well, what if we do use their puzzle? We're going to give them a present, a little prize? Copy of our book, right?
Sure.
Copy of our great book, the title of which is... What is the title? I don't know.
Hello.
It's yellow.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
My name is Holly Brookman. I'm calling from Denver.
Hi, Holly.
Hi.
What's up?
Well, let me tell you, I have a story for you guys.
Yeah.
It's not about my car. My car is great. I have a Datsun 510, 78, 121,000 miles on, and it's running like a charm. But this problem I have is with my friend's car. It's a Saab, and we took it to New Mexico. She was driving. And we were driving for a few hours, and we got into this very small town right before we got to New Mexico.
You notice how I avoided jumping in and asking you if it was going to be a sob story?
You have very good.
I couldn't hold back any longer.
Couldn't hold for long. I saw him starting to shake.
Okay. It's a sob story.
It's a sob story.
So there you were driving along. You were on your way from Colorado to New Mexico.
Right. And we stopped in the small town to get gas and called Antonito. That's in Colorado. And, of course, there's no Saab dealerships around for hundreds of miles. And, of course, the car broke down. Mm. But guess what? I was the one that broke the car.
What'd you do?
Well, she asked me to drive. I got into the driver's seat. And you know how the ignition on a Saab is kind of down? I don't know if you know.
Isn't it
you
stupid?
Yeah, it's down on the console.
Right,
Saab 9000 has finally done away with that nonsense. But for thousands of years, literally thousands of years, Saab, for those of people who don't know, have put the ignition switch down between the two seats, and you can't get the key out of the ignition unless the shift is in reverse.
Moreover, you could never have a bench seat.
Well, you know...
Exactly.
It wasn't that we couldn't get the key out of the ignition, but I started it, and there is an S to turn the key to the start position.
Yeah.
I guess it should spring like a couple millimeters.
Oh.
And it didn't spring.
Oh.
So it was just stuck in the start position.
So
and
you
so
drove.
She turned it off, and she said, try it again. So then I tried it again, and nothing happened. I broke her car.
Oh.
And I felt really responsible. And, of course, she had a fit and was making comments like...
pushed you out of the car, right? In Antonito, Colorado. God.
Wait. I mean, was she belligerent about this?
She was really upset at me like I broke her car. And
well,
I mean...
I
wanted to ask you guys, did I break her car?
Well, I mean, what's the definition here? How old is this Saab?
I think it's an 83.
An 83 Saab 900.
Yes.
Now,
wait a minute. Let's reconstruct the past here. Where were you on the night of...
Wait, how... Was this the first moment that you had gotten in the car to drive?
Yes. I tried to start it on the second time, and that's when it broke.
Oh, so you had never driven the car before.
I've never driven a Saab before. I've only driven my Datsun.
Well, I mean...
And that's what she was saying, that Datsuns aren't as nice as Saabs, and that's probably why...
Oh, in other words, you were like a ruffian.
Oh, come on.
She accused you of ruffianism. In other words, she thinks you ran roughshod over her ignition switch and broke it.
Yes.
Well,
what happened to the car? What did I do to it?
Well, you broke the ignition switch.
You broke her damn car and you should pay her.
Right. I mean, it broke.
Yeah.
I mean, whether or not you broke it is something. You happen to be the mechanism by which the thing broke, but I don't know that you could be... to find fault with what you did.
Well, let's get right down to the important stuff. Obviously, she got it fixed.
Right.
What did it cost?
$150.
How much of it did she ask you to pay?
$180. She didn't ask me to pay any of it.
Oh.
But you're not speaking anymore.
But you're not friends anymore. She probably wasn't worth having as a friend. Anyone who's that picky and touchy about her lousy, stupid little sob.
Do sobs do that, though?
No. I mean, that's the sort of thing that could happen to any car. Ignition switches break all the time.
They never break.
And whether or not you broke it
because
of something...
We've never replaced one of the Saab in 20 years.
Because it was defective. It was old. The car is 8 years old.
Yeah, really?
Sure. I mean, big deal. Big deal. Picky,
did you offer to pay?
Yes, I did.
And she indignantly refused?
Well, she said that it wasn't not to worry about it. That's all she said. She seemed kind of...
Sure. Right. Don't worry about it. Just don't ever call me again.
Did she scratch you off of her Christmas list or what?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's it, huh? Yeah.
But, you know, it's a funny thing because there are lots of situations, I would guess, where someone uses somebody else's car and something breaks.
Yeah.
And there's always the question, why did it break? Was it because of this person? And, I mean, you're hard-pressed to know that's why. Because maybe the thing was ready to break anyway. What if she had been driving at that particular woman? Is she trying to make us believe that thing would not have broken? Had
would not,
she
would
turned
not
it?
Have broken. Hawley broke it. And I think in situations like this, the fair thing to do is to split it.
Yeah?
Whether she wants the money or not, force her to take it.
Well, I don't know.
No, why bother? They're not friends anymore. You think $75 is gonna retain this friendship? No.
Yeah, you're right.
The friendship is over. Say the hell with her. Save the $75. If you sent her a check for $75 and said, hey, you want to be friends again? She might say yes, but could you ever believe her?
Well, you want to test that? Send her 20.
Okay.
See you later, Hawley.
Okay, thanks very much.
All right, bye-bye.
I mean, if I got mad at everybody who broke something in my car, I wouldn't be speaking to anybody.
I know.
Anyone who gets in the car, something breaks. Do I blame anybody? No, because I know that it was just ready to break anyway.
But there are cars and there are cars. And
well, that's the trouble with having a car that's too nice. It is. I mean, when you got a real dog, you don't care.
No.
I mean, I got a big hole in my roof now. I didn't put it there.
The dog did.
Maybe the dog did it. Who the heck? Who knows?
It's not important.
Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose.
1-800.
Don't you forget it.
332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is T.R. Morris. I'm calling from Bellingham, Washington.
Hi, T.R. Is that like T.S. Eliot?
No, yeah. T.R., like Theodore Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where are you from?
Bellingham, Washington.
Yeah.
It's about as northwest as you can get.
Yeah.
I know where Bellingham, Washington is.
Oh. So do I.
Yeah.
So what? What do you want, a goodie button?
You got any?
I'm fresh out. What's up, TR?
Well, I've got a 1980 Ford, let's call it a passenger car. And
Why do we have to use euphemisms here? What is it? Is this like
you know what it is.
It's a quiz?
No, it's a Fairmont.
No.
1980, did you say?
It's a Pinto.
Oh, jeez.
Well, we shouldn't laugh, because I happen to believe that a Pinto was a very nice, well, not nice, a very reliable, at least, car. All right, what about it?
Well, every morning when I start it up, I give it a good warm-up, maybe 1 or 2 minutes, and then when I step on the gas to go, it gives me about 10 feet of real good solid power, and then
broom.
All of a sudden, nothing. And then it's like, galoom, 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 and for like about another 15 or 20 feet. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, vroom, it goes. And I haven't changed my foot on the pedal one bit.
Also, you push the pedal down like a third of the way.
Right.
And
you take off.
Well, you take off is being generous with the term.
Right. You take off, and all of a sudden it loses all power. Does it spit and cough while it's doing this?
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little bit, and then it picks up again and takes off.
And then it goes.
Yeah.
And,
classic.
What's that?
Yeah, it's a classic symptom.
Classic symptom.
Yeah.
I mean, of?
Not Vlasic, that's pickles. Classic.
Oh. Well, there are a lot of things it could be, but the thing that comes to mind is that you have a flat spot in the carburetor because you have a bad accelerator pump.
Yeah.
And if
a
I'm
flat spot in the carburetor.
Yeah.
You mean,
so
like I dented it with a hammer?
No, wise guy. So that when you take off, you're not getting a steady flow of fuel. You're getting an interruption in the flow of fuel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or it could be something as simple as the choke not being adjusted correctly. If I had to guess, I'd say the choke's adjusted too tight.
Really? That meaning that it's too restricted in the morning.
No, when you start it up. You get inside, you pump the gas, you turn the key, you hold your nose.
And it starts
up. Is it fast idle? Does it race?
Yeah. And then it's kind of quick.
Okay, so it runs at maybe 2,000 revolutions per minute?
Sure.
Sure, whatever
sure,
you right? say.
2,000, 2,001, whatever. And then you tap the pedal and it comes down a little bit.
That's right.
And then you put it in first. It's a stick shift, right?
Stick shift, yeah.
Put it in first and you try to drive away and that's when it...
Right, and it's the only time it does it when it's...
Yeah, once it warms up, it's perfect.
Right.
What's wrong is that you need to have the accelerator pump replaced, which, if I'm not mistaken, is pretty easy on this thing.
No, it's not the accelerator pump.
Well, I have a confession to make.
You did that already. What?
Another confession. I am a bicycle mechanic, and a couple of years ago, I got pretty, I guess, nervy, and I decided that I needed to rebuild the carburetor.
You know, every man must do that once in his life.
Uh-huh. And this problem has been... Since you did that, is that right? Come on, fess up, TR.
It seemed like it delayed about a year, and then it started.
Oh no, that's all right.
If it delayed a year, then you didn't do it, because it would have happened immediately.
Yeah, no, you did a good job.
And you probably replaced the accelerator pump when you did that.
He did.
Proving that it's not the accelerator pump, it's the choke.
No. You know, I'll tell you what's wrong. It needs a tune-up. The timing is way off. Have you tuned it up recently?
No.
I'll tell you what happens. When a car gets to be a certain age, people begin to believe that it no longer needs to have anything done to it.
Right.
You adopt the philosophy that when something breaks, you fix it. So therefore, people abandon things like regular maintenance, part of which is having the car tuned up.
I realize that.
Now, this car has points, doesn't it?
That's a lot of good points,
I think. A little bark.
Oh, it has a little box?
Yeah, 1980.
Oh, it might. 1980? I don't know when they changed over. But it may have electronic ignition, but that doesn't mean the timing.
Sure it does.
Have your mechanic check the timing.
You mean pay somebody to work on it?
Yeah, of course.
No, I mean, you can do
it. It costs you $11.
Look, TR, here's what you have to do.
All right.
Have you put in spark plugs lately? Put some new ones in.
Okay.
Have you put in new spark plug wires in the last decade? Put some new spark plug wires on.
I think spark plug wires about 20,000 ago.
20,000. All right, they're okay. Distributor cap and rotor?
No.
Yeah, I did all that.
20,000 miles ago?
Yeah.
Needs it again.
Oh.
So do that again. And check the timing, adjust the choke, and the problem will go away. It'll be one of those things. Who knows which one, but it's a half an hour's work.
And if you do all that stuff and put an accelerator pump in, it'll be perfect. See you later.
Good luck to you.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
The 80 Pinto was a much maligned vehicle. It was ugly. Ugly cars have trouble, you know, even if they're good. Just like the AMC Concorde. It was ugly.
No, it was ugly and it was no good.
No, it was great. It was great. Well, just like ugly people. You know how much trouble you have in the world. If you were one of the beautiful people, you wouldn't have to be smart. You're going to be twice as smart when you're ugly. Trust me, I know this.
We'll be right back with more calls and the new puzzler after these messages.
Hi, we're back. This is NPR's Car Talk with Click and Clack the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to answer questions, believe it or not, about cars and car repair.
Or simply to discuss.
Life in the slow lane.
I want to discuss the slow lane, but not right now.
No, not at this minute. Hey, listen, for those of you that are tuning in for the new puzzler, because this is the part of the show where we do the new puzzler.
There isn't one.
It's on vacation.
Yeah.
Be back in 2 weeks.
I think we...
3 weeks.
I would like us to do something.
4 weeks.
Forget about the puzzle. This is more important.
5 weeks?
I think we need to spend a moment in silence. For the demise of Peugeot of America. You finally did it.
I mean, I didn't do it.
I mean, talk about maligning. You personally, single-handedly, have driven that company out of business. I mean, Peugeot is still in business, but Peugeot of America is not. Peugeot has finally, as you probably have read in the newspapers, decided to no longer make their feeble attempts at selling their cars in this country.
Right, and as one of their reasons, they cited Click and Collect the Tab as the primary reason for flicking it in.
And so we and Salman Rushdie have to go into hiding.
Well, you know, it wasn't the car so much.
No, and in fact, if you read the articles, most of the articles, the one I read was in the Wall Street Journal. and it mentions all of the items which we have been mentioning. Now, they didn't call us up to get those ideas that there was no parts available and the dealerships were few and far between and the cars weren't really all that great to begin with. And if you wanted to get it fixed, you had to just, like, forget about life for 6 months. We didn't make that stuff up. And there it was in black and white or gray, whatever the color of the Wall Street Journal.
No, we didn't make it up, but we sure made sure that everyone found out about
it. Well, I mean, they deserved it. And it's unfortunate that they are leaving us. But in the immortal words of somebody in Washington, who quit one day, someone retired or resigned, and someone in Washington said, well, the real question you have to ask yourself is, who's going to miss him? And the question is, who's going to miss Peugeot? Certainly not us.
Well, we won't have Peugeot to kick around anymore.
That's right. We will miss them. Who are we going to do now?
I don't know. AMC's gone.
AMC is gone.
I mean, Renault's gone. I mean, they're dropping like flies, man. All your favorites.
There's going to be nothing left but Japanese reliable cars, and we'll be out of business.
I know. No more French cars. No more English cars. Roger Smith is gone. Yeah. That's it. We'll have to turn in our resignation, I guess, huh?
A few Italian cars, but the ones left are great ones.
Yeah, they don't sell any of them here either. Well, anyway, if you want to write to us for any reason whatsoever, and we love getting letters, my brother personally reads every letter that we get.
I do. I read every letter. I even answer some.
You do?
It's so hard, though. You have to, write things.
Yeah, I know. You have Stephanie do it.
I do.
But if you want to write to us, you can, of course, write anytime you would like. Car Talk Plaza, Attention Tom, WBUR, 630 Commonwealth Ave, Boston. His fair city.
My fair city.
Massachusetts, 02215.
You want to discuss the national speed limit policy?
No. Okay. Let's do something fun. 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello. My name is Suzanne Billadoux, and I'm calling from El Paso, Texas.
Hi, Susie.
Suzanne.
Oh, Suzanne.
Suzanne, you said, right?
Yes.
El Paso.
Yes.
Oh, that's a wonderful town.
It's a wonderful place.
Is that what the quarterback does when he doesn't want to? El Punto, El Runo?
Yeah. I think so. Well, how can we help you today?
Well, I have two problems, and one I don't think is a very big one. You can probably tell me without any hesitation. When I start my car up in the morning, I get a loud whine, and I'm pretty sure it's a belt that's loose.
Is your husband?
because I just had the belts and hoses changed out, and oil and lube and all this business to go on a trip about a month and a half ago.
And one of the belts is now loose, and it's going, yee, 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 yee.
And I'm wondering if, though, after I get to about 15 or 20 miles per hour, if the hum that I hear kicking in would also be that same belt.
Oh. Wait a minute now.
I'm going to guess that this is a Ford car.
Nope, it's a 86 Caprice Classic Chevrolet.
Oh, yeah.
And
great car, Caprice Classic.
Whining, I did not hear that hum.
When it makes the noise first thing in the morning.
Yes.
How long does that noise last?
About 2 seconds.
Ah, and then it goes away.
Right.
And then sometime later you get the hum.
Well, when I, put it in drive and start down the street, then I get to about 20, and I can hear a very slight hum. It's very low.
You know, it's often the case, and I don't know why this happens, that people will pick up...
Is this one of your musings
now? This borders on being a theorem. People will, in the face of one problem, will pick up what I call ancillary symptoms or noises. Uh-huh. That is, the hum was always there. But once these guys screwed up with the belts... You began to look for other things that they probably did wrong, too.
I heard the hum before I heard the screech.
You hear the hum before they put the belts on?
No. As a matter of fact, I had all the belts and hoses and what have you changed to go on vacation to Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And after I got to Houston,
that's when I first heard it.
Mm.
The hum kick in, and it literally kicks in after a couple of minutes.
And is it a gradual hum? And does it get louder and louder as you go faster and faster?
It does not get louder.
Well, here's my suggestion. My guess is one of the belts is too loose. That's the screech.
Right.
And one of the belts is too tight.
Oh, that's I'll be darned.
That's my guess.
Okay.
You know, so they need to kind of equilibrate the belt tensions here. They need to bring one up and bring one down.
But you think the hum is coming from the front?
Yes. Definitely.
And that doesn't go away. Once the thing begins to hum, it hums all the time?
It hums until I decelerate down below about 15 or 20. And then I can hear it kick back out again.
I mean, it's possible that it's completely unrelated to what they did. It's possible that it was there before and you didn't notice it. And once your faith in their ability was shaken by the installation of the loose belt here, then you began to notice all the other things that were wrong with the car. And, of course, justifiably blamed everything on these knuckleheads.
You haven't noticed any difference in the steering by any chance?
No, none whatsoever.
No.
The performance of the car, none whatsoever.
Okay. I would ask them when they check the belts to also listen to the alternator.
Okay.
Because the hum could be an alternator bearing which is beginning to wear out.
Right, and the alternator may know the words and won't have to hum.
Won't have to hum. The only reason they hum is because they don't know the words. So you throw some sheet music under that hood and the hum will go away.
Yeah, they're like Rodgers and Hart, usually. See you later, Suzanne.
Thank you very much.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
He needs a good belt. That's his problem.
Gee, it's time to say goodbye to everybody.
Is it?
It is.
In the whole world?
Well, almost. All the four people that are
Can
listening.
Can we say that another hour of NPR's Car Talk has mercifully come to an end?
It has indeed. Our producer is Doug Berman.
Where is Doug Berman?
Our assistant producer is Dawn Jennings, who will be our new producer as soon as we get rid of Berman.
I mean, we would fire Berman if we could find him, but we can't.
We had production assistance from Stephanie Kuhl. Our engineer is Jennifer Loeb. Our technical advisor is the one and only...
John Sebastian Lawler.
Bugsy Lawler. Our newlywed dean of the Department of Automusicology is Ken Rogers.
Yeah, good luck, Ken and Gina.
By the way, congratulations, guys. We hope that if you have children, they look like Gina.
Because not like Ken.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research. Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender, the manager of the Tappet Brothers. Capital depreciation fund is less is more. Our staff psychologist is Les Moody or Mo Moody, depending upon
whose mood
who's in. Our staff composer is Baylor Kartok. Our chief legal counsel is Hugh Lewis Dewey of the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe. We're Click & Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Wear your seatbelt.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.